Jesus had said this, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." May God richly bless us with his word. And fortunately for us this morning, we don't have to rely on stones to cry out, because we have brothers and sisters who want to cry out, or maybe not necessarily cry out, but they want to share their stories with you. And later on, if you want to, there will be hopefully a time, open mic time, where others who may feel led by the Spirit may want to come up and share as well. So today I'd like to before we get to these three, can we back up a slide? I'd like to invite Elder Anita Hong to share her testimony with us. And then as she comes forward, I just want to let you know that I know Elder Anita Hong way back, even before she became an elder, at least in my recollection, through her son Albert. Albert was a seminary student at the seminary that I taught at. We overlapped each other and we got to know each other very well. And it's really been a great experience for Betty and myself to get to know Albert and Anita and the whole family. And our little dog Mika was adopted through Elder Anita. So I'm really delighted that she is able to share some of her stories with us, because it's not just because we want to thank her for Mika, but because I think she's got some wonderful stories to share with us in our church. And you know, we are trying to communicate a message that in this church, people of all generations can touch each other and can share and help each other and encourage each other to grow in Christ. So Elder Anita, would you like to come up and share your story? And you have a choice of using that mic, or I can give you a handheld, whichever you feel like doing.
God has given me a healthy mind and body to be able to talk to you. Without a healthy mind and body, I may be having an Alzheimer's disease and I would be lying in the hospital and not be able to talk to you. So I'm very thankful and I rejoice this opportunity. This morning when I woke up, I saw how pretty the skies were, and the skies declare the glory of God, the work of his hands. I am thankful all the time, just like when Paul talked to the Philippians, he said, "Rejoice." Again, I said, "Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to those around you, because God is near. Do not be anxious or do not worry about anything, but with petitions, prayer, and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Very favorite verse of me. verses. I always remember to be happy, even though circumstances are not as good as I wanted them to be. But I rejoice and give thanks to God. In 1993, I want to share this story with you about how I started a company and how difficult it was. My grandchildren always wanted me to tell them 1 minute story, but this time I may take more than 1 minute to tell you my stories. Okay. In 1993, I and my husband started a company, a biotech company, and we did not have much money. We had to borrow from friends and relatives. And we started a company with two technicians, myself and my husband. There were many difficulties, but through God's strength, we were able to overcome the difficulties. You know, when we run a company, you have accounting problems, production, sales, marketing. And one that gave us the most headaches were the legal problems. And those sometimes kept us awake at night. And also made us not able to eat sometimes. Because, you know, as legal things happen, we had to go to court, we had to settle disputes, we had to settle lawsuits. So those things really bothered us. But we emerged victorious because of God's strength. We rely on God's strength. In 2009, after 16 years of hard work, we were able to sell the company and retired. And at that time, the company had grown from two people to 100 employees. And we thank God for all he had done for us. Okay, another story that I want to tell you is about our family. God has been good to us. We have children, two children, and five grandchildren. They all follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And Albert is a minister at Oakland Church called New Hope Church. This church ministered to the poorest people in the neighborhood. They were the kids that are in the neighborhood are from very poor family. The school in that neighborhood that our grandchildren are going to is called TCN. TCN Elementary School. TCN stands for Think College Now. You know, in our community, we think that college is like the usual route that you take after high school. You never thought that you will quit after high school. But at TCN, the parents, many of them, never went to college. They don't know what college is all about. So the founder of the church started a school, call it TCN, in order for the kids that to know what their destination will be, where they're going after elementary school. They're going to college, and that's what the goal was. And 95%, more than 95% of the kids that are in that school are qualified to go to have free lunches. That means that they're families are income are in the poverty level. But Albert chose to have their children go to that school instead of coming to our place, which is in Cupertino, because that's where his heart is. And there was a story about Albert in 42 years ago. He's 38 years ago. He's now 42. 38 years ago, one time when I was driving his sister to girls' camp, Girl Scout camp, the door was not locked, and Albert was sitting at the back of the car. He said to me, "Mom, the car door is not locked." And I said, "Let's just turn the corner, and I will lock the door later on when we turn the corner." And you know what happened? When I turned the corner, the door flung open, and he fell out of the car. I was so panicked. It was on a busy street, that like in downtown San Jose, and he was just about a foot away from the tire. Oh, it was, you know, as a mother, you know how panicked you would be when you see your kid lying a foot away from the tire. So I picked him up and tried to go to the nearest hospital. The hospital, San Jose Hospital that time, was very near, not that far. But I just kept on driving because my mind was not, I couldn't concentrate. And took me a while to get to the hospital, and I prayed to God. When I picked him up, I prayed to God. I said, "God, keep Albert safe. Do not take him away from me." And I promised to God that I will dedicate him to God. And I never told Albert about it, but he is now a minister. So when you make promise to God, make sure that you really mean it. Don't just do any promises. So we went to the hospital, and after checking his temperature, the nurse just kept us waiting for a long time. And I checked on Albert. He looked okay. So we just left the hospital and went home. And so I'm just very thankful for God for keeping us well and for being able to minister, and through me, if I can, and through Albert, who is ministering to the poor kids at Oakland. And I wanted to share this stories in order to be able to hopefully inspire some of you to follow God's steps. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elder Anita. And just from your story, we can tell that God really is one who protects and provides. And even small incidences or experiences through difficult experiences, God is present. Reminds me of the time when my younger brother, Paul, was about the same age as Albert. And he was so excited when he came home from he was in the car at the time with my dad. And he was, when we got back into the, heading into the driveway, he was so excited. He opened the window and jumped out while the car was moving. And the car ran over his leg. but no damage done. So it's one of those stories, I think, of many where they may seem trivial, but so those of us who are parents, it's really hard to experience that when it happens. But knowing that God is present, just having the assurance that through all our trials and through all of our difficulties, trivial or not, there is God. God is present. So it's great to hear the story of Albert and you as well, as Albert has dedicated himself to serving the poor. So I'm sure if anyone after service would like to talk to Elder Anita, I hope that you can stick around and chat with us. We also have others who would like to share. We have some wonderful new members, I guess you can call them new members. Melody and Sarah, will be joining our church via baptism and confirmation. Melody through confirmation and Sarah by baptism next week. So I thought this would be a good time to hear their stories about how they made this decision and what they'd like to encourage the rest of you to consider as you think about your faith. So we need to bring up three chairs so that they can sit down there. I know they're a little bit nervous, so we can get. I'll pull up a chair, but come on up. Let's see if we can make this work. Thank you very much. We'll just put the third chair right here. Okay, now let's give you some mics. So you can take that one, you can take that one, Melody, and here you go, Sarah. All right. They decided they wanted to have an interview format instead of sharing their testimony because they're just that good. Okay, so this is like, they're three experts. They have a lot to teach us. So no, I'm sure they don't want to be, they don't want to be known as experts, but hanging out together, that's pretty cool, right? You can feel like you're not all by yourself, right? If you want to hold hands, that's okay too. But this is a time where, despite maybe the nervousness of sharing in public for the first time, this is a good opportunity for you to share your stories, and I hope that you enjoy this time. And I hope the rest of you are ready to hear their stories. Okay, so first of all, before I go to questions, can you just tell us what grade you're in? Let's start with Sarah Wu, and then in order, Sarah, Melody, and Sarah. Yeah, what grade are you in right now?
I'm in 10th grade.
10th grade. Okay.
I'm in 12th grade.
I'm in 7th grade.
Wow, look at the range. And every one of them have made a decision either to follow Jesus Christ or to be confirmed in Christ and then take on the responsibilities of membership. Okay, so let me start with Sarah Tai and start with the first question. They can go around and you can also sort of harass each other if you want to with questions. But the first question I asked them to share about is like, when and how did you find out
I was 7 when I became a Christian, and I decided to get baptized shortly after this year's youth retreat. I felt God working in my life a lot because I worked on VBS with my mom last year, and I thought how God provided enough crew leaders so that all the kids who signed up could attend, and that was just like really cool for me. So from that, I know that God will provide everything I need, including forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And who's your mom, by the way?
Shirley. She's
over
there.
Oh, yes, Elder Shirley. And who's your dad?
William.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Just so that you get context, you know, we do have this. So Sarah is the oldest child of William and Shirley. Okay, thank you. Melody.
So I've always grew up in the church, and I came to Canaan when I was 4 years old, and I was baptized when I was 5, or 4 and a half, I think. And then I think I actually wanted to be confirmed when I was in 8th grade after I went to a retreat, and this was the first time I went to a retreat where I joined the youth, and I felt like the pastor really spoke to me. And also in 8th grade, my grandma, she needed CPR, and then it was really scary because she went to the ICU, and then she didn't come out the ICU until like a few months later, and then I basically just prayed to God that he would help her and recover, and she did. So yeah,
thank you, Melody, and that's a great story. And for you who more context, Melody's dad is also an elder in our church. His name is Elder Peter Shree. Okay, thank you. Sarah?
I moved here from Taiwan about eight months ago, and when I was in Taiwan, I didn't go to church, and
but you started to come to church when you came here, right? Was it your parents who brought you?
Yeah, and it's really tough at the beginning. Everything is changed, and many things happened. Many feel bad, and but I can feel that God has been helping me.
Thank you. So as you can tell through their stories, God has been working in, I would say, probably intergenerationally, right? You saw people from different ages coming together and demonstrating and showing that God is alive and working, whether it's VBS or your parents watching, helping your grandmother, praying for your grandmother, or just going through the tough times of adjusting to America. So praise God that He was working in your life and helping you see. The next question, what difference has becoming a Christian made in your life? Is there a change of outlook, a change of attitude, a change of behavior, maybe? No, I don't know. what do you think happened that helped you? What difference do you think being a Christian has made in your lives so far? And if you want to ask each other and egg each other on, that's fine too. But I'm going to start with Sarah again.
So I feel like being a Christian has made me feel a lot more positive and like happy and stuff, because like the youth and counselors at Everglow are like always there to like help and support me when I need help, and I've also learned that suffering brings us closer to God, so that helps me know that whenever I go through something hard, that God's always there for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
I think I the same with Sarah. I think I definitely have a better and more positive mindset, and I appreciate everything that God has provided for us. And I definitely, at one point in my life, I saw my life in a more negative way, but God has shown me that I have been blessed, and things will work out according to His will, and He has decided everything in our lives for us. For example, like college applications and decisions. That was a pretty,
it was
a struggle.
Tough, weren't they? Thank you, Sarah.
I think I learned a lot. I learned how to forgive people and how to love people.
That's great. Learning to forgive people, that's hard. Loving people is a little easier, right? Do you have any questions to ask each other? Yeah? No? No? This doesn't have to be related to these questions. It could be anything. No? Okay. All right. Then I'll move on to question number three. Why did you want to become a member here at this church, at Canaan? Was there anything that led you to think about taking on the responsibilities and commitments of membership? I'll give you a moment to think about that. And you want to start again, Sarah?
The people at Canaan were a really big really big factor in me choosing to be a member at Canaan, because, like I said earlier, Everglow is like a second home to me, and like I also like how our worship is really like heartfelt and stuff.
Thank you.
I think Canaan is a really friendly and caring environment, and I really like how Everglow is like a family also, and that the youth and the adults worship together, and I also really like how I can be part of the praise band and serve through praise band.
Great. And Sarah?
I like this church, and many people are really nice, and many people care about me.
Great. Wow. I didn't know we were that great. But it's so good to know that we are, and I want to affirm with you as well that I think the folks here at Canaan have been truly loving and caring, and I hope that you continue to experience that as you take on responsibilities and leadership in this church. Our final question, is actually not a question, but sort of like, oh, it is a question, but it's directed from you to everybody else here, okay? And this is it. What would you want to say to all of your peers who are still undecided about making a public profession of faith?
If you're a Christian, don't hesitate to be baptized, because you might not get another chance to get baptized, so you should just do it.
Just do it, all right. Melody?
Same with Sarah, just do it. Don't hesitate about it, but I also think that we shouldn't only chase success and materialistic things, but also chase our faith. Yeah.
Thank you. How about you, Sarah?
God loves you.
Yeah, good. And just for your information, the two Sarahs are getting baptized, which is different from Melody, who's getting confirmed. And just for clarification's sake, the reason for this is because when Melody was much younger, her parents brought her to be baptized as a child, right? Do you remember how old you were?
I was four,
right, okay. So in some church traditions, baptism of children is part of the church's practice. So her parents baptized her, got her baptized at four. So if you're baptized as a child, it doesn't mean that you're completely ready to be a Christian at that moment. In order to confirm your Christianity, you have to consciously say and declare publicly that I am following Jesus. So that's what she's doing next week when she comes to join our church as a member. She's telling the whole world that, yes, I've been baptized, but I want to confirm my salvation because I'm making a conscious choice to follow Jesus Christ. Now, for Sarah and Sarah, the two are sort of combined. Once they're baptized, that's sort of doing the same thing as making a public confession of faith. Okay, so that's just for your clarification. And any of you who have children and you want to baptize them as children, that's also welcome here at Canaan. But you can also wait until your child gets old enough to make a decision on his or her own. Now, I want to open this up, and I know I didn't prepare you for this, but does anyone want to ask any of them a question? I'll give you maybe one or two opportunities to do that. They are our panel of experts, after all, aren't they? Oh, was that a hand? No, it wasn't. Okay. Yes, Torrance. Okay, I'll repeat it so that the folks who are in the cry room can hear. Torrance's question is, who has been an influence in your life, right, to encourage you to become, to follow Jesus? Is that specifically? Okay, all right. Go ahead, go for it. Name names. Okay.
My parents and the youth counselors and the people who help out with children's worship, because I've spent, my entire life with them, so yeah.
My parents also, and definitely my grandparents, and also the pastors at this church.
Youth group,
all right. All right, thank you very much for sharing your testimonies, and next week we look forward to welcoming you officially to our church and having you have a chance to publicly confirm and state your profession of faith. Okay, you may go back to your seats. You did great, didn't they? Thank you. We have time for perhaps one more testimony, a short one. If anyone would like to come up, and if there's something on your mind, maybe in your heart that God might be stirring in you right now to share. So I'll give a minute for us to consider. Okay, would anyone like to come up and share your testimony for today? I'm checking my email while I'm waiting. Just kidding. Okay, well, this is a real blessed time. I'm so grateful to God that we had four sisters who shared their stories, sisters from different generations, and hopefully through this visible demonstration, you can see the beauty of being part of Canaan. We are a church that has all different generations. When Pastor Sue and Pastor Chris and I went to Fuller Seminary to be part of the youth Institute, we were learning about how to become a church that's more intergenerational and more, they use the term sticky faith. One of the things that I really resonated with was this idea of 5-to-1 ratio. For every student, there ought to be 5 people of different ages who know that student, who are in touch with that student. And not just the youth counselors, and not just the youth pastor, but 5 adults across the age spectrum who know one student. So for all of you who are students, and I'm using the word students to mean youth, hopefully one of our goals will be that by the end of this year, you will at least know 5 adults personally. Okay. Even if it's not like a deep, close relationship, at least you know 5 adults. And the same thing vice versa for adults, to make it a goal to know at least 1 youth. Okay. And I would extend that to our young adults too, because many of our young adults are feeling they came back from college and things are a little bit unfamiliar in this church. Make it a goal to get in touch with 5 other people who are not of your generation, and in doing so, it would help. I think it really will spur on your faith, because having mentors or younger people connect with you, even informally, will really help us to think about our faith more deeply than just being among comfortable people around us. Okay, so with that, I'd like to invite our praise band to come up and lead us in a song, and afterwards we'll have a time of prayer.
So I'm encouraged by the stories and by the courage of our young sisters to be able to come up and share with us their faith. And it's a wonderful time in the year to make that public profession of faith as we are going into this Holy Week, as we're going into Good Friday and to Easter Sunday. You know, this is really the way that the church remembers the most important reason why we exist, right? Is the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. As we sing through these next 2 songs, as we prepare for Good Friday, speaking of which, this Friday right here, we'll have a Good Friday service, so I encourage you to come. These next 2 songs, you know, let's consider the events of that night, of Jesus taking that step to give himself up over to the authorities to suffer and to die on our behalf. Savior say,
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Verse 2.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Came and changed the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Verse 3.
And now complete and end, my robe is righteousness, clothes shelter me this eye, I am divinely blessed. Jesus paid it all the throne. I stand in Him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still ring free. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Please be seated.
The time of prayer that we have added to our worship service is really designed to be a moment where we can pray for one another and to invite God and His healing presence to touch us, and also to pray for God's healing for the world that is suffering and lost. So I'm going to invite Crystal to come up and lead us in this time.